Yeah, Scott, this is Jesse calling from the Raccoon City Dog Pound. Listen, man, I ain't been doing too good since I last called. I don't know where I am. I'm pretty sure I'm in a zoo. I got a case for brains. I'm not doing good. Boop.
This is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for December 18th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is The Boop Show. Boop! 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 What the heck, man? 2013 was a flash in the pan. I feel like it came and it went so quick, I barely had a second to understand what the hell just happened. Why am I saying that? I'm not talking about 2014. You think I just typoed that? No, no, no. I'm talking about the year before this one. 2013. Why? Because I paid for and downloaded on Steam Brothers that year. Do you remember Brothers? And it had gotten all this rave reviews, and people are saying it uses a controller in new ways. Finally, a game that uses controllers in a way that you're not used to, and truly innovative. And man, Starbreeze has outdone themselves. What, they're developer of the year. Burp, 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 burp. Made everybody's end of year best game of the year lists and things like that. And I completely missed the ball on it. Well, other than I heard about it, said, yeah, that sounds like something I should play, and then downloaded it. But I never freaking played it. And I kind of forgot. You know, like you do with Steam, you get this big library, it's full of games, and you just don't remember that you did something. So the boy and I, my son Nicholas, decided we should go through some old games and see what we could get rid of or keep or share or whatever, because he's got his own Steam account. We're doing a lot of family sharing stuff. And as we're digging through there, I'm like, oh, Brothers, right, that thing, forgot. And he said, is that any good? And I said, well, I heard it was amazing. So you want to play? He says, sure. So we fired it up. He sat there with me in a chair, and we played probably 3.5 hours of Brothers. And that is now, retroactively, my 2013 game of the year. That game is amazing. With all the complaining in the industry and the players saying that there is not enough innovation out there, that we're not doing anything new. Everything's a Call of Duty ripoff, or another MMO ripoff, or yet another MOBA to play, or 1,000 other things, right? That's what you hear all the time. Man, that's wrong if you look at it in the bright light of Brothers. That game is so awesome. Emotionally resonant. What am I trying to say? It has a lot of good emotion. That's what I meant. There's this whole troll sequence with a troll that I won't give away that really touched me. Like, I came away going, what? You're making me feel the feels, you weird game. Look, do you like Ico? Remember Ico? Do you remember that? The PlayStation 2 game? If you liked that game, I guarantee you're going to like Brothers if you haven't played it. Now, many of you are going, Scott, we played it. We get it. It was amazing. Well, I'm sorry, a little late to the game, but holy crap, it's good! I cannot wait to keep going. And I've been told that if I play it without him, he'll murder me in my sleep. So I'm not going to play it till Nick gets home, either from school or later tonight. But yeah, that game, dude, so good. Pick up Brothers if you haven't. It still feels new. It looks great. Unreal Engine, beautiful. Has a very indie feel to it, but at the same time, it feels. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. I cannot wait to see what they do in that vein again. And these are the same people that do all kinds of games. Starbreeze does, what are those cooperative bank heist shooters on the PC? Can't think of their names. Oh, Payday 1 and 2. That's them, which is so, it's not even in the same realm as this. So, and other games too. There's a lot of diversity happening under that roof. And Brothers is a gem, man. Do not miss out on a chance to play that. So then to completely counter that experience, and I don't want to be rude here because I'm actually looking forward to this. They had a deal on Amazon for Call of Duty Advanced Warfare that I couldn't pass up. So normally that thing's, what, $59? And they had it for $39. And I was like, you know what? Let's just do it. I've got Prime. I get free shipping. That seems like a pretty good price. It was a day only or something. So I picked it up. So it's actually right here. Where is it? Right here. this little package, just waiting for me to open it. And I'm kind of in the mood for it. I can't believe I'm saying this because the last, well, maybe this is why. The last couple of years I've avoided the yearly Call of Duty game and said, nope. Had my fill. You guys aren't doing anything new here. Ghosts I completely avoided. And it sounds like that was a good move. But even the year before that, what was the year before that? Black Ops 2? I think I may have fiddled in it, but I can't remember what happened there. I may have had it on PC as a gift or something. Just didn't care, right? Maybe enough time has passed now that I've got an itch for it again. And I totally do. I want to play that campaign. I want it to be crazy. I want to see Kevin Spacey. I want to blow stuff up. I want to fly drones around. I want to do some multiplayer. I want to have a good time. That only, you know, that game can bring a certain brand of good time. And I got tired of that brand and now I'm back. I'm back and I'm ready for more. And it reviewed well. So, you know, I feel like the press is behind it. Players seem to like it a lot. I know that that whole thing is in transition, but I'm good to go. Diving into the news head first. Oh, and Patrick, if you're listening, Destiny. Steam holiday sale starts today at 1 p.m. Eastern. Actually, that has already happened. If you live on the East Coast, you're about an hour into it. I have not looked at things, but going by different things like Reddit threads and such and whatnot. This is all supposed to last until January 2nd. Plenty of time to snag some of those sweet games, those deals that you hadn't already purchased. I feel sometimes like I've already got too many games on Steam as it is. So do I really need another sale to fill up my list of things I don't have time to play? Probably not, but I get excited anyway, and I'll probably grab something. So do that if you haven't. It's out there.
Hi, this is Steven from India, Idaho. This is for the Boot Show. So I work in a big box retail type environment, and I had someone come in for the Super Smash Bros. Pack, and immediately thought of the Super Smash Brothers thing you went on, which you are correct in it. Yeah, thanks for just wanted to bring that up. Yep, and that's it.
All right, more confirmation. That's all we needed. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Minecraft Story Mode game series is coming from Telltale and Mojang. Mohang. Man, Telltale, are they just going to make an adventure game out of every possible property? You got your Back to the Future, you got your Game of Thrones now, your Walking Dead, two seasons of that. What else you got there? Borderlands thing. This is really weird. Like, I thought those were already a little weird, especially the Borderlands thing, because it's kind of Inception. A game about a game, right? Well, now they're going crazy. It's Minecraft Story Mode, an episodic narrative-driven game based on Minecraft's blocky world, coming to PC in 2015, Mac as well, mobile devices, and what Mojang calls Xbox consoles and PlayStation consoles. That very well could mean 360, PS3, as well as the One and the PS4. They have yet to clarify that, though, as to which platforms. My guess is they're keeping that open because they don't know yet. Isn't that crazy? Here's what they said. It's been influenced by the previous games that they've just released on all those things I mentioned before. Quote, Telltale's game series will mix new characters with familiar themes in an entirely original Minecraft experience inspired by the Minecraft community and the game that continues to inspire a generation, says Telltale. Inspired by the Minecraft community. Now, that could mean, you know, you're going to get like Yogg's cast and freaking... what's his name? Can't think of his name. Swedish guy. The bros guy. What's his name? My brain won't work. PewDiePie. You think he'll be in there? He'll make an appearance. They'll go all YouTube-y on us. Could happen. Anyway. As you know, Microsoft now owns Mojang. So I don't know. Maybe they have some sort of deal going, but whatever. If you want to play the game Quest or Story Mode, I suppose it's going to be called, then one only need to wait a little while longer. Hearthstone is now available worldwide on every Android device that will play it. Some of which I'm told from Android friends who are super hackery that even if your phone or tablet is listed as something that won't work, or if it's a phone in general and not a tablet, you can hack those things or rootkit them or whatever and make them work anyway. So to me, that's the key difference between iOS fans and Android fans. iOS fans are just happy to have whatever's on the store, and Android people want to hack the hell out of those things. And that's great. That's not a problem. I don't have a problem with that. But I guess that means more people playing Hearthstone, and it's now worldwide on your Android devices. So good luck. Have fun. Tuck in. That's a good time. Amazon is offering maybe the best deal for console bundle fans ever, at the moment anyway. And especially if you want a PlayStation device. You can get the PS4, camera, and two games for the low, low price of $450. Good gosh. That's a pretty solid deal. I don't care who you are. So you can do that. And I guess it looks like the games that are available. So here's what you get. You get a digital copy of The Last of Us Remastered, no matter what. You get that no matter what. And then you get a code for your choice of one of four additional games. So here are your choices. Destiny. That's where you shoot people. NBA 2K15. That's where you shoot shots, right? I know what's going on here. Far Cry 4 and Little Big Planet 3. If it was me, probably go Little Big Planet 3. Well, it's because I got a lot of some of these other games, so I'm making that choice based on that. But Far Cry 4 is awesome, but I kind of want that on PC. Maybe the NBA game would be good for friends. Destiny I already have. Whatever. Either way, good deal. If you don't have any of those games especially and you're looking for a good bundle, holy crap, that's a sweet, sweet deal. You still get that Glacier White PlayStation 4 Destiny bundle that's still available, and you get a copy of Killzone Shadowfall with that, and that's still $400, and that's this weekend. So deals to be had all around. Take your pick. Get in there. If you don't have a PlayStation, might be a good time to go.
Hey, Scott. This is for the Boop Show. I have a challenge for you. I want, with the beginning of next year, why don't you take a pick back at Star Wars The Old Republic? It just hit 3.0, and, you know, by January, they'll have ironed out at least the major bugs that hit with 3.0. Just want to know what you think about it now.
Boop. I tried 6 months ago, and I had all kinds of trouble with my login, and I could have called and got a hold of somebody and said, whatever, but I didn't do that. It was a huge pain. So I didn't do it. And I didn't want to start from scratch. Although I kind of do want to start from scratch, because I don't remember what I was doing with my bounty hunter or my freaking inquisitor. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know where they are. I don't even use those guys anymore. But I won't lie. I've been tempted, and I know lots of things have really improved in that game and people really like it. It's been successful as a free-to-play game, profitable. That's all good. You know, I do wonder though, the Disney acquisition of Star Wars and Lucas stuff happened during the life cycle of that game. Does that change anything for them? Like, could Disney step in and go, we're not doing what we want. We want to go a different direction with a property like this. So we're chucking it. Plus none of this KOTOR stuff is canon now. So, cause that they did basically say that. So we're going to just yank this and do something new. I wonder if that makes fans nervous. If you're playing that game on the regular, I'd be very curious to know where your head's at with that. Assassin's Creed Unity patch is 40 gigabytes if you own an Xbox One, at least some of you. This maybe is, if you were wondering what was the biggest mess of the year, I got to give it to Unity, because this is like the nail in the coffin. Already a billion problems with that game. Already all kinds of controversy leading into it. Why aren't there any female protagonists, or can't you play a girl? We would rather spend all our time polishing what is already an amazing finished game. No, you didn't. It's broken. It has all kinds of problems. At least don't lie to us about it. Anyway, this fourth patch was supposed to be 7 gigs. Still big, right? That's still pretty big. And that's for non-Xbox One players. So if you had a computer, the PC there, or a PlayStation 4, and I assume... Well, who else is there? The other console's got the old game, or the other game. I don't remember. Is that it? That's all three. I guess that's it. They didn't do this on Wii U, did they? I don't know. Can't remember now. I don't have it in front of me. But anyway, so it was supposed to be the 7 gig one, but the Microsoft Xbox One fans may be facing a 40 gig download, which is basically the same size as the full game on the hard drive. So a 40 gigabyte game, you're basically re-downloading the entire game. And they explained the situation in an update. They put it on their support site. This is Ubisoft saying this, quote, issue with the patch downloading process is replacing the entire game instead of just the parts affected by the patch, unquote. Publisher says they're working with Microsoft on a solution to reduce the total download in the package. They don't want it to be that big. So there is a workaround for disk-based Assassin's Creed. Here's what you do. You uninstall and then reinstall the game. The patch will revert to the correct size of the download patch, the 6.7 gigabyte. And that will fix it. And that's not a huge deal. People are thinking, well, wait, I'll lose my saves. No, you won't. Those are on the cloud, so you'll get those back, at least in theory. That's what you've been promised. Oh, ugly business though, right? That Transformers universe MOBA is shutting down. I didn't even know it existed. That's a great property for Transformers. Think about it. MOBA-based or Transformers-based MOBA is a great idea. I didn't even know about it. How did I miss this? I mean, not that I, you know, maybe it wasn't any good. I don't know, but what a great idea, though. The abilities and the stuff you could do with each character type and all that just seems like perfect for a MOBA, or as Blizzard calls them, online brawler. Bad news, though. MOBA Transformers Universe will close before it even leaves beta. Oh, I guess it's just in beta. This was Jagex is the developer, and Hasbro. They were trying to build that, and this is their decision is to help what they say is, quote, realign their plans and focus for 2015, unquote. They had a bunch of layoffs. They talked about those in November, and now it's truly game over for this game. Doll. There's a whole bunch of details on the site about if you bought a bunch of booster packs or you did all the free-to-play hoo-ha during the beta, how they're going to compensate you and so on. But they're done. They're out. They say on, let's see, this was on, where is this? The forums, I guess. It says at 10 a.m. GMT, will be shutting down all servers and forums and will freeze all Transformers Universe-related accounts. These accounts will then have another 60 days approximately for final queries before deletion on March 31st, 2015. They will continue to operate on the forums, blah, blah, blah. They will help give relevant updates and, you'll all be getting refunds, it says. So what a mess. Wow. It makes me sad when games get destroyed like this. It's such a cool idea. Whose idea to can it? Was it? Was it you, Hasbro? I'm looking at you, Hasbro. Mystery girl joins, or her name is Siri. No, I'm sorry. Cirri. So it'd be Siri. Siri, who's in The Witcher 3 as a playable lead? Boop, boop. A mystery girl named Siri is joining The Witcher 3 as a new playable lead. There, you like that? She is a descendant from a long line. You know what? We need some music for this. Hold on. Let's see what we got here. How about this? Let's get real serious here for a minute. Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. Ah, yes. Okay, ready? We're going to do this reading now. A descendant in a long-lost elven blood lineage. Siri plays an important role in the Witcher lore. A powerful living weapon, capable of both healing and destroying in the world she inhabits. This reads developer CD Projekt's official description. As Siri is pursued by the Wild Hunt, a cavalcade of ghastly riders, capable of unspeakable destruction as well as the mighty empire of the Nilfgaard. Nilf. Is that noodles we'd like to... Well, whatever. It's down to Geralt to explore The Witcher 3's vast open world to find her before anyone else does. What does she bring to combat? They don't say. But she's an agile sword fighter and a short-range teleportation caster. And she has a dark, possibly... cataclysmic secret. All right, that's all well and good. I want to get a little dramatic there for a minute. Oh gosh, Pac-Man themed restaurant coming to Chicago. Finally, our long national nightmare is over. Namco Entertainment to open a Pac-Man-themed restaurant near Woodfield Mall in Chicago. This will happen in January. Will it open, or are they just breaking ground? Anyway, 40,000-square-foot facility named Level 257, a reference to the famous final kill screen level in the original Pac-Man game. It will open in a former warehouse space owned by Sears. So lots of tools and barbecues. What else they got there? What else does Sears have? Overalls, tires. If my experience with my father going shopping was any experience, those were the things you could get at Sears. The level 257 cheekily reads on the website anyway, gnoming soon to Chicagoland, early 2015. Nomming, not gnoming, nomming, like get it, nom, nom, nom. That's pretty stupid. Anyway, they say they're now hiring. The whole thing is themed around that. It's described as a high-end restaurant with 180 seats, bars, lounges, and, quote, giant red leather booths and separate sports bar. 16 retro-style bowling lanes, table tennis, pinball machines, and our lost-and-found games parlor and original arcades alongside new titles, plus custom-built game tables and free-to-play board games. I think that sounds awesome. Doesn't it sound fun? That sounds like a lot of fun to me. So if I lived in Chicago or nearabouts, I'd go.
Hey, Scott. This is for the Boop Show.
I already heard you. Go away. Trying to get me to play Tour that bad? What are you doing, man? Calm down. All right, we have some emails to read. And as always, if you would like to have your phone call, and I cannot stress this enough how important and amazing your phone calls are to the proceedings here at the Boop Show. And that number is, write this down, 801-471-0462. Again, 801-471-0462. Leave us a message. Keep it short. Keep it fun. It'll make it on the show. Or you can email us your attachments and or emails to boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. Hi, Scott. Seb the Swiss guy again. This says our first email. Just listening to the latest Boop Show, and you spoke about Papers, Please as awesome. What am I doing wrong, he says. It's a great question. What are you doing wrong? It seems the only thing the game asked me to do is try to remember the capital city of adjacent countries and check people's papers. I played 30 minutes. It's not fun. Seb. Boop, he says at the end. Yeah, you know, it is work. It's part of the game's appeal is that it is kind of drudgery. I realize that sounds counterintuitive to people who like to play video games, because typically we come to these for their fun factor. But it's not, you're not wrong to think that you're being presented with something that makes, that is attempting to make you work, to do actual work like you would if you worked at a border crossing in a terrible country like Astoria or whatever the hell it is. But for me, that's part of it. And because the game doesn't push you so much on time, like it's not forcing you to do something quickly. It's not a clock-based timed thing, at least not the main mode. So it's not like playing Diner Dash or something where you got to hurry up and, you know, help all these people. You have to be more thoughtful. If you let somebody in, it actually means something if they weren't supposed to and they cause real damage. Or if you deny somebody from coming in that really did need to come in, and the moral questions surrounding all that and why you chose to do it. If you were just being lazy and didn't check to see if their country was banned, or if you did it because you felt bad because the lady's daughter was there and she just needed to get in. I mean, there's just a lot more to it. And if you're not into the spirit of all that, then this game sucks. It's not fun. But the story elements and the kind of backdrop are what draw me to that game and keep me there. And I'm really sad it's not working for you. I hope it maybe kicks back in for you, but I love it. And I also think the mechanics are a lot better now that it's on a touchscreen. Matt wrote in, Surprise Truck is his nickname. Ah, what's that? It's a truck. I was surprised by it. Hey, Scott. Why do video game companies stick to the yearly franchise model so tightly? I'm having a hard time of thinking of a medium where things are released yearly. Well, I would point your attention to how many movies lately have been doing this. Lord of the Rings was a long time ago. I realize that. But The Hobbit now, all those Stephanie Meyer books, things were like yearly. You got your Mockingjay business. What is that? The Hunger Games deal. That's a yearly franchise. It's starting to bleed into other industries, and I actually think video games have helped lead this charge, because more and more movies that do this are becoming more throwaway, kind of mindless entertainment, kind of like, say, a Call of Duty series or something is referred to as, so people want it on the year. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I feel like that's what's happening. It seems like almost all of them suffer from bad quality at one time or another. Is there a model that would let them deliver content for a game and make money, but not try to sell us a complete version every year? Love the show. Boop. Yeah, I mean, they could, Matt. They could. This is Matt, by the way. Also Surprise Truck. They could. They could sell us more piecemeal. They could. I mean, they kind of do that with DLC, but in terms of, like, you know, for example, a new Madden game every year, that does seem really stupid to me at this point. I stopped doing that a long time ago. And unless I'm a diehard football fan, then what's the point of that? They should, given today's climate, downloadability, live server stuff, they should just be giving you, give us one game 3 years in a row, and once a year charge me $10 for all the new rosters, rule changes, all that stuff. That's reasonable, right? Then 3 years in, make a whole big, huge, awesome new version of the game. And then repeat that and then do like that. I say all this, but the reason they do it, dude, is because they're making money hand over fist. So why wouldn't they? We may not like it quality-wise, but I don't think their bottom line reflects what you and I are saying. And that, my friend, is part of the problem. Barry P. wrote in. Barry P., yo. Scott, so us gamers will complain about an incomplete game, but heaven forbid we pay $25,000 for an incomplete amiibo. Damn, this world is screwy, he says. It's the legless Princess Peach amiibo he's referring to. Also to the person saying not to buy them because of lack of support, I'm buying them for my shelf. They look great, aside from Link. Boop. All right, Barry. You represent a lot of people buying those. I think a lot of people could care less about game integration with those. I think they're buying them almost primarily as collectibles. And yes, complaining about incomplete games, but paying $25,000 for an incomplete amiibo is a weird contradiction, is it not? I'm glad you brought that up. I'm sure people could make arguments one direction or the other, but that's a pretty funny thing. People are weird. That's what I come away with. People are freaking weird. Jim in South Carolina sent us our final email, which says, Scott, I think part of the disparity between PlayStation and Xbox free games is that Sony is giving away more games. Well, yeah, that was my whole point last episode. The reason they have more given away in the year with their total is because they've given away more. Anyway, Microsoft only started giving away two games a month with gold, and so there's that. Yes, and they did start later in the year for sure. Also, which I think I also mentioned. Anyway, also Sony is probably counting across all three of its platforms, PS4, PS3, and Vita. And PS3 and Vita each get three a month. That's a lot of games each month. Yeah, no, I entirely agree. That is why they lead in that number. Me bringing it up as a news item, I wasn't trying to argue one way or the other that one's better or the other. I mean, numbers are numbers, but in context, these numbers are only interesting to then open up the question of, oh, well, this counts all three systems versus one or whatever. I guess the 360 gets them too, but anyway, I don't think it matters. Either way, I'm glad that the trend is toward giving away more games. Important point made by Jeff Cannata on Patrick Beja's show Pixels the other day that I guested on. He made a really good point, which is the PlayStation stuff was not free. You're paying a subscription to get those games. Now, they may be extremely cheap based on that subscription, but they go away the minute you stop subscribing. This is true of gold as well, but none of this is free. This, you know, we're all paying something for these. It's not like they just said, hey, dude who wants a game for free, here's a free game. That's not how it worked. You had to give a little bit of flesh for your free copy of, I don't know, whatever game you got. All right. All right. There you go. That's your emails. You guys are rad. Thank you for that. Totally appreciate it. Good times. All right. Next Monday, I plan to bring to the show my picks for my favorite games of the year. They will not be of all the games released. What are the best? Because I don't play all the games released, but of all the games I played, I will tell you my top five video games of 2014. And I will tell you my most disappointing video game that I played. So you won't actually hear me talk about Assassin's Creed Unity because I haven't played it, because I don't want to spend money on a broken game mainly. But, I will talk about the game that most disappointed me and the five games that made me the happiest. That's all coming on next Monday's show. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. You can phone call us, leave us a message at 801-471-0462, or you can find us on Twitter @boopshow. Show your support of this and other shows at the Frog Pants Network by going to patreon.com/frogpants. All right, that's it. Hope you guys are having a great Christmas season. I'm totally stoked about mine. I'm actually going to Vegas. We're having house sitters kind of cover things here while we go 5 hours south to the gleaming light, noisy cigarette butthole that is Las Vegas, Nevada. And we're spending some time down there, seeing a few friends, a little family, and mostly chilling out because I take no time off. That means there'll be a show on Monday. There will not be one Thursday, which is Christmas. Is that right? It's Thursday, Christmas? Yeah, hold on. 23rd is Tuesday. 24th is Eve. Yeah, so Thursday is Christmas. Anyway, and there will not be anything until I get back on the 31st. But as soon as I get back, we'll have a new show. Anyway, if you guys are interested in all of that, just follow me on Twitter, at Scott Johnson. Going to leave you now with some music. Thank you to Joshua Seamus and about 20 other people who are all asking for this thing. It's very holiday-driven, but it's also video game-driven, and I'm very happy to play it. It was found on our OC Remix. I've had it for years, but completely forgot about it this year. This is the Super Mario World Super Mario's Sleigh Ride Remix mashup. And it's awesome, and you'll hear why in a second if you've never heard this before. So I'm going to play that now. Stay tuned after that for Blair's App Review, and then that's it. Thank you all for being here. I'll see you on Monday. Ho, ho, ho.
Welcome to Blair's App Review. I'm Blair Canfield, and this week's app, Trivia Crack. When did the American Professional Football Association become the National Football League? Do you know what the capital of Barbados is, and how many children did Phoebe have in the TV show Friends? If you know the answer to any of those questions, you might want to challenge me to a game of Trivia Crack. Trivia Crack is a game available on both iOS and Android devices for free. Step right up and challenge your friends to answer trivia questions about six different categories. The goal of the game is to collect six tokens representing the six categories before your opponent does. One player starts by spinning the wheel. They then answer a question regarding the category that the wheel lands on. If they get the question right, they continue spinning the wheel and answering questions. Once they get a question wrong, though, their turn ends. The categories on the wheel are as followed: history, sports, entertainment, art, science, and geography. There's also a space designated by a gold crown. I'll get to that one in a second. There are two ways that you can earn the tokens needed to win. First is by answering three questions correctly. This doesn't have to be in a row. Once you do so, you then choose a category and try to win its token by answering one final question. The second way is by landing on the gold crown I was talking about. You then have a chance to choose a category and win its token, or challenge the player to a six-question duel and steal one of their tokens. If you lose, you lose one of your tokens. You have 25 rounds to win the match. Once a player gets all six tokens, or has the most tokens at the end of 25 rounds, that player wins. This is a great game to play with your friends, but there's not a snowball's chance in hell that I would ever play against Brian Ibbitt. I would give Trivia Crack an 8 spinning wheels out of 10. Feel free to tell me what you think, or tell me a game you think I should review by contacting me on Twitter, at BlairCan.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there. We'll be right back.